With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Recording.
Hi, you're listening to Fail Like an Artist with your hosts, Julie Battisti.
And me, Phoebe Ganza. A podcast discussing all the ways we've failed as artists, with insight, advice and humour.
Each episode we will discuss a failure and what we've learnt from it. Today we're going to be talking about the Instagram blue tick and I guess what it means for artists specifically. But before we dig into that, Phoebe, how are you doing?
I'm barely functioning.
Are you okay to record today?
No, I'm okay. We've postponed this. We're only recording this a few days out, actually, because, yeah, I have had wonderful COVID and I'm on day 7 today. So technically I am allowed out of isolation, but I don't know if I could leave if I wanted to. I've been not very well and I'm still feeling a little bit fragile and fatigued. So I will do my best to be peppy in this chat, but I feel quite like I'm 110 years old today. But yeah, I'm all right. Last time we chatted was just before I went to Auckland for 24 hours, and was fun. So I'm going to just like pretend the last 7 days haven't happened. Yeah, so I went to Auckland to see Eckhart Tolle. For those of you who are not familiar with him, he is a German mindfulness expert. And yeah, I went with a couple of friends to see him do a talk. It was a really nice trip. We went out for some really yummy food and had some cocktails and did a bit of shopping and stayed in this really amazing kind of like, it's like called the convent, which is like an old nunnery in Auckland, but it's kind of spooky. But it was like, it's really modern. They've you know, it's all like redone. It's not like, when my friend told me, I was like slightly worried that it was gonna be reminiscent of the time I went backpacking in Italy with my best friend and ended up staying in a convent there, and it was a very different experience that I wouldn't want to repeat. Don't think I slept that night. But yeah, this was lovely, and there was a lot of art in the hotel.
That's cool.
And I sort of, on the way out, there was a lady at the reception room, and I said to her, kind of cheekily thinking, I just want to know, like, where do you get all your art from? Because you've got so much on the wall, like, and it was quite a lot of it was like modern sort of contemporary paintings and things. And she said, oh, we just go to like art fairs, and you know, the boss goes to. Yeah, if they feel like they want some more art, they'll just go to like galleries or art fairs and buy it.
Oh, that's cool.
And I was like, oh, wow, that's cool. I'm an artist. I just left thinking, oh, well, they've probably got enough art. But yeah, it would be a good thing to get into. My friend actually in England works for a company and they provide hotels of artware. Sorry, sidetracked. So you go to Auckland, it was lovely. And then Eckhart Tolle was in the evening and... I'll be honest, he's got a very, very slow gentle voice. And I've read his books and I've listened to some podcasts with him on, and I usually put them on like 1.5 speed. And I didn't really sort of think this through when you're in a conference room. And I didn't also know how long the talk was going to be. I thought it was like an hour.
How long?
I assumed it was about an hour. It was over 2 hours.
Did you stay awake the whole time, or did you nod off?
Honestly, I needed to like flick my eyes with water. I didn't have any water. I had to like blow on my eyes, like. It was a really hot, stuffy room, and it was packed. Like, I couldn't.
All of the conditions were ripe for sleep.
It was. People left. Honestly, people stood up and left, and I felt really bad. He's like this little old man. He must be in his 70s. He sort of shuffled onto the stage and sat. It was just like a chair on the stage on the spotlight with a video projection behind, so you could sort of see it, his face. He just looks like a little sort of field mouse, and he's so sweet and lovely, but he just talks so slowly and so calmly. Like, it is the perfect thing to listen to if you wanted to go to sleep.
I was gonna say, I've had the Eckhart Tolle audiobook for maybe 10 years. I've not made it past chapter one.
It's so good. I was actually listening to it when I was really unwell to help me sleep, because I couldn't sleep with COVID, and it was really good to put me to sleep.
Well, that's what I used to listen to it for. But again, oh, I've never made it past the first chapter.
Start on chapter two next time. But what he, what he says is love. It's really lovely stuff. It does make you think. But I just wish that he had perhaps had like his. He must have a management team or something. And I wish they had sort of said, hey, how about this time we have like some slides that we put behind you to kind of, you know, illustrate your points, or, you know, even just some like, you know, like a PowerPoint with some text to kind of just summarize what he's talking about, just so you've got something to like latch your brain onto. Because for me, listening to 2 and a bit hours of continuous talk, there's nothing for my brain to kind of adhere to. There's no points of difference, so I couldn't like take any more in. I couldn't absorb it, because it was just too samey. Do you know what I mean? And there was nothing for me to like anchor as a memory to my brain.
Yeah.
Whereas if there'd been like a visual or something, I could have been like, oh yeah, remember when the picture of that flower came up and he talked about so and so, like, you know. But there was nothing. It was just like one long. And the thing, he sat down and he was like, so. When I'm going to do his voice. But when I thought about doing this talk, I thought about an introduction. But now I have sat down. I think I will just talk about whatever comes into my head. Like this. And I was like, right, so you've written a talk, but you've decided to disregard that and then now just give us a long monologue about whatever's in your head. I was like, oh no, I kind of paid for the talk. Don't just make it up.
Can I get the Cliff Notes?
Honestly. I was like, my friend next to me was like, ooh. Like, by the end we were both just like, because we hadn't eaten.
Oh,
we were kind of in a rush. Well, we had a really big late lunch, and then it was like that awkward thing of like, oh, we're not hungry enough. And anyway, it was just like, we were like, oh, we'll go to the talk and then it will finish at like 8 and then we'll go for dinner. But it didn't finish till like 9:20. So by the time we left and got in the car and like drove across town, all the restaurants were like shut. There was nowhere to eat. Anyway.
That's like my worst nightmare. Hungry, bored, warm. I would have slept.
Yeah. I was like, I've paid for this. I'm listening. Honestly, I did so well to listen, but I can't actually tell you anything he talked about. It wasn't much new stuff that I hadn't heard before, which was kind of unfortunate. But anyway, it was a good experience. And then, yeah, kind of got home the next day and felt really, really tired and thought, oh, gosh, I'm a bit lame. I feel so tired after just one day away. And then about midnight that night, like, woke up with fevers and sweats, and I was like, oh, I think I'm actually ill. And that's when I got the, yeah, next day I realized I had COVID. So it's been fun and games since then. But anyway, that's pretty much me. What about you? How are you?
I'm pretty
good. You're looking lovely today.
Lovely. When you were talking about the art in that hotel, I was thinking, so I went to the hairdresser last night, and while I was getting my hair washed, they had like a whole gallery wall up on the wall. So you gave you something to look at.
Nice.
And it was like a really cool collection of different portraits and stuff. I was like, oh, that's a pretty cool use of.
Yeah.
She had like quite a nice collection of art in the hairdresser, actually.
That's good. It's good to see places like actually investing in art. I feel like I see more of it. Like we went to another, we had a drink at a kind of bar, and that had lots of art up too, as well. And I was like, oh, this looks really nice. It's not just the decor. It used to just be like places looked really nice because of the way they were kind of decorated. But I'm seeing a lot of art in places as well now too, which is, it's kind of like, maybe that was lockdown. Maybe that was when people kind of like, oh, let's redecorate and
I haven't seen that in a hairdresser's before, so I really, I don't know, I enjoyed that. I told my son last night that I was going to go get my hair, you know, cut and colored, and this morning he ran in wanting to see what color my hair was because he thought it might be green.
Oh, bless.
Very disappointed.
Yeah, I think cut and colored as a child, you probably don't realize that means like made to look like the hair that I was born with rather than this.
No longer so many greys.
Yeah, exactly. And colouring in the bits that I don't like anymore. Oh, no, you look lovely. And that's great that you managed to get away and
it was good.
You time.
But I've had a few other tidbits that I've had going on that I haven't actually spoken to, even though we speak all the time.
What?
I know, I saved things. Some nuggets for the podcast.
I don't have anything new, sorry.
So I've had an art assistant start last week.
What? Yeah. That is huge. Like cheating on me without telling me about it.
I know. I know, it's taken all of my self-control not to talk to you about it beforehand.
I have been so ill, I haven't actually been able to really converse. Oh, tell me. So who is this person?
So she is the daughter of a friend of mine, a uni student. I've just organised for her for like 2 hours a week. So I sort of had to figure out how to justify that to myself because it feels like quite an outlay this year because obviously I'm not working as much as I used to. And I budgeted for $2,500 because I knew that would cover me for 2 hours a week.
Yeah.
And at the like she's actually here at the moment and I've just got her in the studio washing brushes, cleaning my palette, unpicking. I've got like 6 canvases that I need unpicked and restretched because I want a different linen on them.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, all those menial jobs.
Yeah, and it's just a way of me getting another 2 hours back every week that I don't have to spend doing that.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, it's going to take me a little bit of time to train her how to do all the things. So I want to teach her how to stretch canvases and probably how to update my website and all that sort of stuff. But I'm pretty excited and it does feel like a big step for me. But time is time and I'm going to give it a go and see how it pans out. But so far so good. So this is week number 2.
What did you do last week then?
Cleaned a lot of brushes and helped me package an artwork. So I think that was like the best looking art I've packaged in a while.
That's cool. And what is she, you know, like what's made her want to do it?
She's not an art student. I won't talk about her too much because I don't think fair. She hasn't signed up for it.
No, no, I don't mean in that way. I just literally meant why would someone want to do that?
I think it's an interesting part-time job.
Okay.
I originally had thought I would reach out to the there's a art school here and also I reached out to a high school that's literally down the end of my street. But I found this girl first and I just thought, well, look, I'll just roll with that. She seems keen. And that's my main.
Yeah, that's great. No, that's fantastic. I think that's a great idea.
And then on in the studio side of things, I have had a few wobbles this week thinking about the exhibition. And part of that has got to do with, I guess what we're talking about today, in that if social media reach continues to drop, just making sure I get enough, drum up enough support for the exhibition, because I'm not in Melbourne anymore. It's sort of like, am I going to be able to get enough people there that the show's a success? And then it also means that for most of this year, I'm going to be making, or pretty much for anything other than the commissions that I've got locked in, I'm going to be purely working for this solo show, which means I'm not going to have much income for the whole year until that point. And it's sort of like the realities of that, I guess, I've been thinking about a lot.
It's that feast or famine thing, isn't it?
Really, yeah.
Being an artist.
And I've been really keen to have a solo at Studio Gallery, so I'm hoping that it's worth the risk. But it's sort of like, am I holding off, you know, I'll be not getting much all year and then just praying that something actually sells at the show. And
I'm sure it will.
Yeah,
they wouldn't have asked you if they didn't have faith that you were, you know, somebody they could sell the work. And you have to also remember that it's not all on your shoulders to drum up support for this. Like, they are, you know, also going to make money from this, so it's in their interest to be as kind of invested as it is for you. You know, they're not just going to sit back and be like, oh, that's Julie's going to do all that, and we'll just wait for the money to roll in. Like, a good gallery will do legwork to promote and get clients and people along. So
yeah,
I think it's only natural to have all those fears though and worries, and that's just part and parcel with, unfortunately, being an artist and doing an exhibition. And I mean, I'm in this sort of similar boat at the moment. It feels very lean because I'm creating a body of work for somewhere, and with all the things like school holidays and cyclones and COVID and all the other things, it has taken me much longer than I wanted it to, and that has meant that I haven't really got any work extra to sort of sell. And then thinking after this, I'll start working on my exhibition for next February, and then I won't be able to sell that work either. So feels like you're on the back foot, even though you know in the future it will pay dividends. It's really it's hard to work in that kind of negative equity state.
Yeah, it's sort of feeling like you've really got to back yourself. And it's, you know, I do really love creating a body of work, so I'm excited about that, because I think that feels like a real achievement when you look back at what you've created over the space of, you know, 9 months to a year, and be able to see it all. Because I think otherwise, when it just sort of goes in and out and dribs and drabs, you sort of don't take stock of just how much you've done.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and seeing it all together. Yeah, that's like a really special thing. So I'm really excited. I really want to be able to come along to your exhibition. Never been to Melbourne. So that's...
Sorry,
just my eardrum.
You didn't do that.
Got one on the other side. Should we sort of slink over to the topic that we're going to talk about today?
Yeah.
So it's kind of it's a funny one. It's not really a fail in a sense, although I have failed at it. I have failed at the blue tick, because I have applied for the blue tick 3 times and been denied. So I guess I have failed. I failed to get a blue tick. Have you ever tried?
I have, but I never had the right... I think there are some basic requirements that I don't think I've ever met.
Yeah, well, that's... I mean, I'm assuming that's why I've never been accepted either. Like, I think I tried at around 50,000 followers, thinking, I guess, naively, like, oh, I've got 50,000 followers, that must be enough to get a blue tick. I didn't know this till afterwards, but apparently your photo on your Instagram profile and whatever ID you send in has to be a very clear match. And then your photo then is not allowed to change again. And I think the photo that I've got as my profile picture, I'm like looking down and my hair's quite blonde or lighter in it. And so I don't know, whether that maybe didn't go in my favour, because I don't think it's as very easy to see that it's the same person in my passport photo, which is awful because I had COVID then. The first time I had COVID, I had to apply for my passport and I had to take a photo with my phone, and I look like someone that has COVID. So that's not really going in my favour. I could probably, yeah, anyway. So that's that. And I didn't know that until after, yeah, that if you apply your photo on your profile picture can't change. You'd have to like start the whole process all over again if you ever wanted to change your photo. So that's quite a, you're kind of locked into that picture. So you've got to sort of think quite carefully about that if you do go ahead with it. So yeah, so I've been denied at 90 whatever thousand followers I've got. So clearly it's not just about your number of followers. It's more to it than that to get the free one. But yeah, now I also think perhaps because the paid version had come into New Zealand and Australia at that stage, they probably are not going to let anyone get it for free now.
It'll be interesting. So, I mean, we've obviously both been doing a bit of reading lately, and I was interested to find out that there are, I mean, it's their way of verifying that people are who they say they are.
Yeah.
And so they have a lot of news outlets actively sort out verification for their staff. So a lot of journalists, even though they've only got about 2,000 followers, potentially have a blue tick. Mm. And there was a couple of them that had written articles about the fact that they'd gotten quite a lot of grief from people.
Mm.
So one of them, there was one article I read by a journalist who only had, I think must have been 2,000 followers or less, and she, the amount of hate that she copped from people accusing her of paying to get verification.
Oh, this is before
it, was a thing.
Right.
And she was like, no, I just, if you have a look at my account at all, you'll see that I'm a journalist.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it got a bit blurry. People sort of thought, they sort of identified the blue tick with kind of like a celebrity or a influencer status, and actually it's not about that. It's about like, I am this legitimate person and I need to prove that I am who I say I am, because someone could copycat me and pose as me, and that could cause problems. So like you say, for a journalist it's very important that the person they're interviewing, whatever, knows that they are legitimately that person. And for a celebrity, I guess, if you're a movie star or whatever, it's kind of, you know, they want to have ownership over their own page so that there's not someone impersonating them and potentially defaming them or whatever they could do.
I think a lot of people have seen it as a status symbol in the past, like myself included. I think the one thing that this has done is sort of helped to clarify what it actually means. But yeah, I've got to say, when it first came out, I 100% went into a little Instagram rage about something else changing, more money being won. Like, I just, it just prickled me.
Well, so should we just talk a little, just before we go into that, should we?
Yeah.
I'll just sort of explain the what Meta, which Meta is who owns Instagram, Facebook, say about this. So the new feature is about increasing authenticity and security across our services, basically. That's what they've summed up as. Just to let you kind of in on the cost, in New Zealand or Australia, it's roughly about $25 Australian. I think that's around 30. It changes on the exchange rate, but I think that's around 30 New Zealand dollars a month. This is really interesting, and I hadn't realised this until I read this. If you pay through the app. Now, if you go via the website, it's 20% cheaper. It brings it down then to 20 Australian dollars a month, or about 25 New Zealand dollars a month. And then the US, that's either $14.99, so $15 US a month, or $11.99, $12 US a month, if you do it through the website. So that's something that's a little bit not really made very transparent. So my advice to you, heard it here first, no you didn't, it's probably all over the web, is if you are thinking about going to do this, don't do it through your Instagram app. Do it via their website, because you'll get it for 20% cheaper. And that's a month. So that's, you know, that's quite, you know, it's not a cheap amount. If that's 30 New Zealand dollars a month, you know, that's 360 a year that you're spending to effectively, in their words, prove your authenticity and increase your security?
So what they say it's going to include is, so verification, and what they mean by that is that they will have, you have to give them a government piece of ID, which then they will match up to your photo when it actually gets verified by a person. And they also say it includes proactive account protection. So it's supposed to improve the amount of protection you get from impersonation. It has some exclusive features, which include some stickers, which I don't really understand. And I believe that there is some talk about you getting better reach and...
No. That's not true. So they began, when they first bought this out a month or over a month ago, they trialled it in New Zealand with increased reach and visibility as a selling point. After trialling it in New Zealand, they found that for whatever reason, hang on a minute, I'm just going to pull it up because I did read it.
This is really interesting. In all the articles I read, I didn't come across that. So,
news. Meta is expanding the test of its paid verification feature called Meta Verified to the US. So it's done its testing in New Zealand and Australia, and it's now expanding it. So in the US now, you can apply for a blue tick. The catch. As part of the expansion, Meta has removed increased reach and visibility as a subscriber perk. Meta said the decision was based on feedback and learnings from early testing of the feature, which launched in Australia and New Zealand last month.
Interesting. Do you know what else?
The one thing that would have made me go, maybe it's worth it, maybe it's worth $30 a month, you know, to get increased reach and visibility and for my followers to actually see my stuff. They've removed that.
I'm actually glad they've removed that, so that'll be interesting to dig into later.
Exactly. So that, yeah, we'll dig into that later. But, I mean, that was I felt like that was the only carrot almost.
The other thing that, like, so the last perk on that list of perks that I was reading out, and this is from the Meta site, is direct account support. So you get help from a real person when you need it. But I will also note that at the top it says features may vary by region.
Talk about this later, but I have heard from someone who has said that they haven't seen any extra support.
Interesting.
So you can put two-factor authentication on your own page to protect it. You don't get any support, but then it seems like potentially you don't get any support anyway. But you're not getting increased reach, you're not getting increased visibility. Yeah. It's sort of like you're basically just getting a blue tick to say, yes, I am who I say I am.
In that, so I have been staunchly anti-paying for a blue tick before we reached out to a few people and had a chat. Now, the best reason that I heard from someone was that I think it'll come in handy for prospective collectors knowing that I'm a real account and being comfortable to purchase my art. I was like, that to me was a really good reason. And also I do understand that people are more and more worried about accounts being hacked and not getting any support from Instagram.
I have to be honest, I'm like you. At the beginning I was very venomously like, no way, they're not having my money for that if there's no actual gains. But I think it's be silly for me to sort of be black and white about it and say never, because I think, like everything, this is obviously very early days and they've already kind of rolled out something and then backtracked and pulled the pin on that, so they are clearly in a sort of testing version of it at the moment. And maybe it will pay to be an early adopter of that, because these things do always change and it might be that they actually just listen to people and go, okay, well, people aren't happy paying this much. We need to offer some more benefits. And, you know, I doubt that this, the way it is right now, is how it will always stay. But I did some maths just to try and think about how much money they will make from this. And it made me kind of, bile kind of. regurgitated.
It's blatantly a cash grab from Instagram. Like, it is, they're rolling out a subscription program, but they're not calling it that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to note that. So in recent months, I don't know for how long, Instagram's hit a bit of, Meta has hit a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
And they have actually laid off a whole bunch of people. Yeah. And then this has come out. So to me, it does feel like it is.
Well, my husband was telling me about this, the VR thing that they're working on at the moment, and that apparently Meta, I'm so bad, he did tell me the name of it and I can't remember, but Meta are working on a VR kind of experience thing. Yeah, Meta Universe, I think, probably. They're spending they're putting more money into this a year than the Apollo space mission. So they need to make that money somehow. And hey, listen, I absolutely understand that, like, we have had this, you know, Instagram has been free for so long, and it's, you know, it really is a tool that is an essential part of a lot of people's business. And, you know, you pay for a website, nobody balks an eye at paying for Netflix, or, you know, you pay for things, you pay for your phone, you pay for things. People have to pay for things. So I'm not saying, like, we should never have to pay for Instagram, it should always be free, but it just feels a bit like they're trying to kind of make us pay for it, packaged up as this gift, this special thing, where actually they could just be really transparent and say, do you know what, we're just gonna make this a paid service now.
I think what they've done is ruin the blue tick for those people that were verified for being a
legitimate. Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, but it seems ridiculous that they wouldn't change the color and maybe make
the new version
be green or gold, or I don't know, paid be a gold tick.
So to be honest, I think most of the people that have paid for it so far would probably, from my reading of their interactions we had when we were talking to them, was they probably would have preferred for it to have been a different colour. That way they didn't feel like they were posing as a verified account, but they were happy to pay for increased security. And,
it just seems strange that they have done, they've kind of tried to bundle this thing, these two things together that are actually quite separate.
Mm. Because if you are paying for increased reach and increased visibility, what you're paying for there is advertising. And they've got a mechanism for that already. It's an ad.
Yeah. So you're not. So that's why they've taken that off the verification thing.
Because they probably found all of their ad revenue was...
Well, exactly. Why would you pay for ads if you're going to pay for this Meta Verified? So they've gone, whoa, we can't do that. We're putting all our eggs in one basket.
And I think, you know, the bits that I find really problematic is I find in a way that they are triple dipping into Instagram. So I understand that people are saying, yes, we need to pay for it. And I agree, but I assumed that the quid pro quo with Instagram was we gave them our data, which they were making money from, and getting advertising dollars. And now I almost feel like adding a subscription onto that for basic, what I consider basic functions.
Well, exactly.
Is triple dipping.
It is, because these functions, being able to verify that you are who you say you are and to have some customer support if you get your account hacked, that shouldn't, in my opinion, be something that you need to pay on top of.
And I think, you know, not that I'm trying to solve all of Meta's problems, but if they're saying, look, we need to pay for people to actually verify all of these accounts if everyone wants to get verified so that there's less scam activity, I'm like, that's fine. That should be a one-off cost.
A one-off cost, 100%.
And then
it feels...
I do feel like paying money to make sure that they don't get hacked, for me to have to pay a subscription of that, doesn't feel... I think basic account security should be their issue, not push back onto the users. And customer service, again, shouldn't be something that you have to pay for. And then I do feel like, so social media, what one thing that it used to offer, and I think the reason it appealed so much to so many creators, was you didn't need money to play in the same ballpark as anyone else.
Exactly.
And now, like, there's going to be a sort of, you know, haves and haves not sort of situation, because it's not going to be affordable for it.
No, exactly. Honestly, right now, I'd have to cancel some other things to be able to justify it, really. To say to my family, okay, well, I need another $360 a year on top of like my website and my phone bill and my internet and, you know, my studio that I'm paying for in town and all of those things. Like, to then say I need another $360 a year, I mean, it doesn't sound like a huge amount, and it isn't for a lot of people, but for some people that is. And that's a year. Like, and then at what point can you then, like, is that forever? Is that forever now until I ever decide I don't want to have Instagram again? Like, and is that price going to go up? Like, once I've locked in and they decide to put the price up to $40 a month or $50 a month, then at what point do I then go, oh, okay, well, I won't pay for this anymore and I'll go back to not having a secure account? Like, once you're, that's my worry, is like, once you've said yes and you're locked in and that money's going out, it's going to be very hard to untangle yourself from that and go back to not having a blue tick, because you're going to feel really vulnerable at that stage to be like, hey, everyone, no longer got a blue tick because can't afford that. And so I'm an open goal here for hackers. Do you know what I mean? That's just feels really uncomfortable.
And the other thing is that if I do feel like it is going to put people off, because, you know, first people feel like, okay, they're going to need to pay for Instagram, and then they're going to need to pay for TikTok, and then
Facebook. That's another, if you wanted your Facebook verified, that's another price.
Yeah. So it's not a bundle. You don't get Facebook and Instagram. You get Facebook or Instagram. You have to buy them separately. And I don't think people have enough money to buy a subscription to every service. Yeah. So
I'd rather it was just like a one-off,
why a business might do it, I can understand. But for a casual user, it might feel like a bit of a reach. And especially if most people are getting a bit put off by the amount of sponsored content that they see. I don't know. Is the everyday user, like, are our collectors going to stick around to see all this content? Or is it just going to ruin the social side of Instagram, because people are going to, will people leave because of this function?
At this stage as well, you're not even allowed to do it if you're a business. It's only for individuals.
I think it's when you think about the individuals that would pay for it, most of them are going to be content creators or business accounts that are under a personal account.
Right.
Because if you're just a casual user putting up pictures of your family and your pets and...
No, I mean, like, a business couldn't, like, pay for it. Like, if you were a brand, you know, called, I don't know, whatever, suddenly decided to create a brand of selling drinks or whatever, those people, that individual, that business couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So it's only sort of individual people.
Yeah.
It has to have a photo of you. It can't be like a logo or anything like that. It has to be a person's face.
Yeah. Were you worried about handing over government ID to Facebook? Like, how much does it sort of thing that bothers you, or?
Honestly, I think I just sort of thought, fuck, excuse me, French.
They've heard worse.
They've probably already got stuff of mine when I first signed up. I don't know. I didn't even think about it, to be honest. It just said, can you, you know, to prove who you are, you need to attach a photo of your ID, which I had. So I just did. And then now they've got that. I didn't even get a blue tick. Sold my soul to the devil. The devil laughed and walked away.
The one quote that I kept coming back to was, it makes me think, what comes next? First you pay for the ads, then you pay for the reach, then the tick. You're just emptying your pockets and getting distracted from making good products that people want. And that's where I think I still land. I think I would rather keep just focusing on making art and sharing it with those people that are already following me, and not trying to focus on paying for advertising, paying for a blue tick, and I just keep it, my attention keeps being taken away from Instagram because of this sort of thing. I think I keep thinking I need to keep, A, getting people across to my mailing list so that I can drag them along to whatever thing is next, because I do feel like I am losing, I still love Instagram and it's still where a lot of my connections are, and I think there are a lot of people that are like that. But I'm enjoying it less each time something like this comes out.
The feed scrolling is something that I very rarely do now. I seem to only really just watch stories and interact with people through the DMs, you know, because when you do scroll on your feed, if you know, even if you just want to see what people are up to, you're interrupted by so many ads and things.
Yeah.
And by people that you know, don't follow, or what your suggested posts and all this stuff. And you just think, no, I don't want to see this. So I'm just not going to bother.
I do feel like the whole pay-to-play scenario is going to be happening more and more. So I don't know if it's something that we have to get used to, or if it's going to be the incentive that another company has to create something new. It will be interesting to see where this goes.
So I reached out to a few people that had been given a blue tick organically. And one of them was Love Ludi on Instagram. She has 60,000 followers. She said that she was stoked from a legitimate account perspective. But I think I've always focused on the strength of my relationships and my engagements more. And she doesn't think she would pay for it unless it affected the engagement and visibility of posts within the app. So that's interesting.
Mm.
So Anastasia Palmson, who has her 102,000 followers or whatever, with her organic verification, she said, as far as the whole pay for support story, I've submitted support requests and it's like shouting into a void. You don't even get a record of it or any acknowledgement that they've received it. So this is someone who has verification, and she's submitted support requests that have been basically ignored.
Mm.
So
well, I think we're all under the impression that those verified accounts got some extra perks, like maybe a bit more extra attention, and that's what you're told and what you read about. But it seems like with the people that we've spoken to, that's not actually been the case. It would be interesting to hear from any of the people that have paid if they need support, whether it's as forthcoming or whether it is more, you know, again, because the more accounts that get verified, it'd be interesting to see whether they can keep up with the support requests.
Well, I suppose they're paying.
That's what they're paying for.
Yeah, they must be using that money to pay for the support, I guess. But
that's so, theoretically what the money's going to. Yeah. But, you know, I also think it's just going to the bottom line.
Oh, I think it's going to their Meta Universe thing.
Mm. Her main comments were, I'm okay with people being able to have a verified ID accounts. She thinks that should also be the norm. And she was really angry about the fact that they cancelled the Reels monetization. She feels like Instagram is feeling more like a lose-lose scenario for creators. So there used to be a more productive way for creators to make money, and that's been taken away. And now on top of that, people are being charged for some basic services. Yeah. So it's gone from being a revenue maker to a revenue hole for some people.
Yeah, it's gone literal full circle, and it feels like it's kind of biting the hand that feeds it. Okay, I'm going to play this Hannah Jensen art.
Funnily enough, people did message me and said, oh my goodness, you've got a blue tick. So I feel like it had a bit more of a significance to other people. For me, it was just like, yeah, I've worked hard to get here. It's been 20 years of in the making of doing lots of making and creating and now sharing using this platform. And that just kind of like, yeah, it was a verification basically, is, you know, to showing that I have proved myself and I've gotten there by doing the hard yards. To be honest, I wouldn't pay for verification. I just think, you know, your work should speak for itself. And if you're on here sharing what you'd like to share on this platform, whether it's a product or art or selfies, like, you know, just do it your way. And again, I just really push for like really being who you want to be on here. Yeah, I wouldn't pay for a blue tick, to be honest. I think money can be spent elsewhere.
Interesting.
Mm.
Yeah, interesting. I like her perspective.
Yeah, she always remains, I think she's a lot more positive than my initial reaction to this has been.
She's a very, very positive, nice person. She always calls everyone darling heart on her stories. I absolutely love them. So she's just so nice. And I'm like, God, I need to be a nicer person. I wish I was nicer like Hannah. Should we just read from a few people that have paid for it then?
Yeah. So the first account I talked to was saying that she was drawn to the idea of increased protection from scammers and being seen by more people. And she felt like she was trying really hard to build her business. And so this was just another, I guess, mechanism in that, in that business building side of things. I wonder if she will change her mind if she finds out that the reach is no longer part of that package. It'd be interesting to talk to her about. Yeah. She did also say that she wasn't interested in the blue tick appearing next to her name, and she feels a little bit like a wannabe influencer.
Yeah, see, I get that.
And she is also the one that gave the good advice about the profile picture had to be your face. So make sure it's a picture that you really like.
Yeah, because you can't change it unless you unsubscribe and reapply. Here's feedback from an account who's paid for verification. They've said, to be totally honest, nothing really has changed since they've got the blue tick. They've not had any increase in real views or followers, which clearly kind of makes sense now when you realise that that's not something that they're offering. She was hoping that there would be an improvement with reach, but hasn't seen that. The thing she was hoping was that it will offer increased security, and that's the claim that it has offered. So that was the big motivation for her. Yeah, so kind of that increased security thing is basically, I don't know, feels like a funny, a lot of money to pay for increased security.
It depends though. Like if your account got hacked,
yeah,
I'd pay to get that fixed, I think.
So would you pay $360 a year for the rest of your life to get your account back?
I know. And that's, but I think that's the thing, is my interest in Instagram is starting to wane. And then if my account got hacked, part of me thinks I'd probably just pull the pin and say, well, I'm done.
Yeah.
But I did, I mean, so anecdotally, one of the stories I read was an account in Australia that had been hacked, and he had paid for verification, and they were able to sort it out really quickly. And that, I guess, A, I was like, well, okay, it's a service that they're offering that does seem to work. But also, if it is something that they could fix so quickly, I feel really bad for all the people that have been hacked that haven't been able to be helped.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, we know people who have been hacked recently, and there wasn't the option of the paid verification at that stage. So they've had their account hacked, they've lost all their followers, they've had to start again. Like, do, if they start pay, if they pay for verification now once it becomes available, are they then going to be able to kind of go back and say, excuse me, can you find my old account? Like, once they've now invested all this time and energy to start their whole thing again, are they going to want to then get their other account back and then have to consolidate these two, because they probably have had new followers and things since then, you know? So it just seems all very messy, and this person here who's paid for the blue tick basically looked at it like the everything in the world is changing and they have to adapt. So they've seen it as like just a part of having to adapt and go along with all the changes on Instagram, which is fair play, I guess. But she has seen a major increase in engagement, which has resulted in more sales. So, you know, that person has got, like, I'm not going to say how many followers they've got, but they have got quite a high follower number. So that could come into play with the fact that they've got now a blue tick and a high follower number, could be seen as, you know, more of a kind of legitimate, what's the word, like a kind of kudos, and I guess as someone who's buying art, you might pair a high follower number and the blue tick with kind of feeling like, okay, I'm happy to put my money there. Whether or not that translate when you've got a low follower number and a blue tick is something that I guess is too early days to kind of tally up.
Well, I think so. It must be reassuring for people who are buying art if they're buying it purely online, because I think people do worry if they're buying from people they don't know. Is this a real person? Is this a scam? Especially if you're asking for a deposit, and if they have been verified, you know, it's not a 100% robot, a scam account. Yeah. So I think that's, in, you know, the last person that we've got in the paid verification feedback, that was her main reason for doing it. And that was, again, that one that I read at the beginning. It hasn't lived up to her expectations. She hasn't had any increased post-performance or anything like that, but she did think it would be good for her prospective collectors knowing that she's a real account. And I think that's
probably the only reason
I would do it.
Yeah, if you are selling predominantly through Instagram or your own website and you're not getting your revenue from outside of Instagram as much, then it would make much more sense to invest money in that. You know, you're not paying overheads elsewhere, you're not paying commission to a gallery, etc., etc. So that $30 a month is really, you could see a small change in exchange for providing kind of
reassurance
to your buyers.
Again,
certainly,
I think
I'd feel more comfortable buying something off someone if they have a blue tick. I think I would feel more willing to kind of transfer money to that person. With the ever-changing landscape and all the scammers and things, moving forward, it's going to probably. But that's where it makes me feel uncomfortable, because it makes me think I should have a blue tick, you know. And without one, do I look like a fake?
No.
Of me.
I feel bad for the people that can't afford it, because obviously it's going to fall into that same. I think social media democratized art in a lot of way. It made it accessible to everyone. It didn't make galleries your only option, and people could finally sell and you know, do things on their own. And now all of a sudden there's this, feels like there's going to be this paid barrier to a few people, because if people, if the running line becomes you can only buy from people, or it's only safe to buy from people with a blue tick, then it almost will, I mean, that's I think a good reason for getting a blue tick, but I also feel like it's one of the more problematic areas, because
it's no longer a level playing field for everybody, is it? It's the rich get richer, you know, and it's a funny one. It still doesn't, it doesn't sit right with me. So here's a last one here from someone who has paid for the blue tick. Again, in terms of post performance, it's made no difference. Person has quite a high follower number, it's not a tiny account. I would estimate about a 70% drop in impressions over the past 18 months. Wow, that's probably about the same as me. Spam comments have actually gotten worse, but I think this is maybe due to the large art hashtags I'm using. You know, you can actually block those spam comments quite easily, by the way, people. You need to just go into settings and preferences and hidden words, and then you just add a list of hidden of words you want filtered. So you could put things like, type in bot, NFT, send pic, DM pic, things like that, and then it will just filter out any of those and you won't get those comments. It's just an aside. Anyway, even though it's not lived up to my expectations, I still think it might come in handy for prospective collectors. I think it's absolutely, you know, up to the individual, and if paying for that security is something that you feel is a valid way to spend your money, absolutely go for it. And if you can afford to do it, I think it's fantastic. And I think, you know, for peace of mind, and for all the reasons that we've listed, like giving that kind of security to your buyers and giving that level of security to yourself, there's definitely a reason why having the option of paid verification is a good thing. It's just there are a few areas that feels like the customer isn't getting as fair a deal as perhaps they should. And it feels like in the game of Instagram, the winner is still going to be Instagram. By a long shot. And I just wish it was like a one-off paid thing with a different coloured tick, so that you could just go, I've paid for that, I've verified myself, I've got a green tick next to my name to prove that I am who I say I am.
Yeah.
And everybody's now going to know that I am who I say I am. I paid my one-off fee, whatever that is, fine, I can forget about it. But just the whole kind of blurry line between the pre, you know, celebrity kind of blue ticks and then now paying for it and being locked into that for as long as you want security, just like everybody wants security all the time. So
my issue with that is I don't think that account security should be pushed back onto the individual. I think that should be something that they're responsible for.
Exactly. It's like you created this monster and that meant that you created the bots and the ability for people to create all these hacking accounts. Like you clean up your mess. Don't make me have to pay for the mess.
I feel like we're both slightly negative. I actually thought you would be more optimistic than I am. So
I think I just don't feel very well today.
Yeah.
I think I wanted to be, and I, listen, I'm not saying I'm not going to pay for it. Like, honestly, it might be something that I have to do, and that's, but I don't know if I'm going to do it with a skippity skip to the bank type attitude. I just think I'm a bit bitter that I got denied it.
No.
And I've never got any money from Instagram at all, ever. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It's, no, God, I sound like a wet whinge bag. I think Instagram's given me a lot and I have to be grateful for that. And I am. I am really grateful for the community and for the opportunities and the kind of, you know, sales I've made through it and everything like that. It's been a great thing. I just wish they didn't keep changing it and making it less great. That's all. Stop. What do you think? Are you going to go and get it, Julie?
At the moment, no.
What stage would make you do it?
If it was going to, when they were saying it'll impact reach and post performance, I didn't want to, but I thought, look, even getting close to the exhibition at the end of the year, if I can't get my post seen, that's my best way of connecting with people at the moment. And that's when I think it's why I reacted so harshly to it. Now that they've taken that part out of it, I think it makes me feel like I probably won't verify my account because I think, well, I feel a little bit like I'm well-known enough and I've got my work in galleries and people can see that. And also I don't sell direct. So that requirement for me is maybe slightly less.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how, when you've got two-factor authentication on, I don't know how you would get hacked, but I guess maybe people have a way around that. So
I do. I think the thing that worries me and why I'd maybe consider it from a security point of view is I feel like things are going to get pretty tough for a lot of people this year, and I know that when that happens, probably the amount of hacking and the amount of scams are going to get worse. People are going to get craftier, and that side of it does worry me.
Mm.
Not enough to want to pay 300 and whatever it is per year.
Yeah, exactly. That's my thing. I'm like, well.
But that's also, I think, partly because I feel like I'm drifting from Instagram already.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that's kind of why I've decided this year to move away from selling too much directly from my website and to move towards galleries and things, because I can see that kind of avenue is becoming harder and harder with the decrease in reach and things like that. It's like, well, where do I want to put my energy? And actually, I want to put my energy into making art. Really?
Yeah.
And I just do not want to spend my days with my head in my hands thinking, how can I make a reel that's going to go viral? Like, I just do not want to do that.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't really matter for me as much anymore whether or not people know, like, if my account is verified or not. It doesn't matter. It's kind of a moot point. Like, I don't It's lost its importance a bit, sadly. And I guess unless they change things, and yeah, I think I'm just going to watch this space. I'm going to see how they roll this out, how people adapt with it, how kind of popular it becomes. Because with the blue tick with Twitter, I think they thought that that was going to be really, really popular, and then that like to have a massive, absolute car
crash. I don't
think
Instagram will blunder it as badly as Twitter did.
No, but certainly, they, you know, it didn't have the success that they wanted it to, obviously. Mm. And so I think I'm just going to sit on the fence with a kind of slightly scathing open mind. and see how things pan out.
Alrighty. Well, have you got a fail that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I've got a fail is that I just recorded a podcast and it was so dry, so unwell. And I'm so sorry, Judy.
No, I'm sorry too. I feel like I didn't bring much to the table today. I've had a few sleepless nights.
That's fine. I think my impersonation of Eckhart Tolle was really good.
Yeah, that's staying in.
Have you got any quotes?
I have.
Go on then.
So when I was reading this, I guess one of the things that really resonated with me was someone saying, at a time when so many young people are turning away from social media by either logging off or completely seeking alternative apps that feel more authentic and less commercial, Meta could be pushing away the users it needs the most to stay relevant in the future. So I'll put a link to that article in the show notes.
I'm sorry, people, if you're listening and you think that this was our worst podcast yet, please don't rate and review this one. Hopefully there's some food for thought in there. And, you know, this wasn't really a kind of a fail episode so much as a kind of just topical one, because this is kind of in the news at the moment. And so we kind of wanted to talk about it whilst it was relevant and front of mind. So I think hopefully, you know, a bit of background noise while you paint. Doesn't really matter what we talk about, does it? That's what we're there for. Better than white noise. Hey, better than 2 hours of Eckhart. Just.
Yeah, I don't know. At least you can put us on fast forward.
Exactly. Put it on 5-speed. It'd be amazing. We'd sound like chipmunks.
All right. Well, I am going to wrap us up there.
Wrap it up. Wrap it up, people.
Thanks for tuning in to us again. Yes. I hope that you have gotten something from this. And
yeah, please let us know. Please let us know what your thoughts on the blue tick are after this.
Back to more firm art content next week, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
You can find us over at Fail Like an Artist on Instagram and Facebook and all of the other places. Go to the show notes and follow our newsletter. It'll have lots of articles that we've read from this week, as well as some fun stuff about what we've been up to. You can find me personally over at Julie Battisti on Instagram and Facebook, or juliebattisti.com. Phoebe, where can they find you?
You can find me asleep under a duvet. PhoebeGander.com or on Instagram at PhoebeGanderArt. You'll know it's me because I don't have a blue tick next to my name. And you can support us if you'd like to buy me a coffee and Julie a coffee, a virtual one. You can find us over on Ko-fi. There's a link in the show notes. Thank you so much, Julie, for your patience with me today. And thank you for listening, everyone. Until next time.
Chat to you soon.
Keep failing.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, I wasn't listening. Sorry. I was trying to find my quote. I've just found a recipe for fettuccine.
Put that in the show notes.
Hey, there might be. Is there any funny bits?
There's no funny bits in this one.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free.
warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.